WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Throughout this past year, our WWE superstars performed tirelessly for all of you. Week after week, month after month, but we all knew there was something missing, something very important, the most important. That would be all of you, our fans, the WWE Universe. And as we emerge from this dreadful pandemic, on behalf of our entire WWE family, we would simply like to say thank you and welcome you to WrestleMania!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. No, you are not dreaming. We are live yet again for the third day in a row and the fourth time this week. And we are here to talk all about WrestleMania Night 1. Guys, wrestling Christmas has arrived. And oh my God, it feels so good for it to be back. If you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen to redeem your free sub. If you want to follow the channel, you can hit the button too, or you can just hang out and chat. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's back. It was back. It's back. It's WrestleMania. It's back in business. Oh my God, WrestleMania was freaking back tonight, y'all. It was fucking back in front of the WWE Universe. 25,676. On any other year, that would sound like a low number. But in a year, 1 month, and 1 day without a crowd, that was fucking awesome.
I just don't even know what to say beyond I am so ungodly happy after this show for a variety of reasons.
For a variety of them.
Yeah. But I told Rock this. this year has been so weird. This past year has been so weird because we went from having fans to not having fans. Last year was the WrestleMania that almost didn't happen. They threw it together, they gave us a show, and then they figured it out after that. And we've been in the Thunderdome era now for 6 to 8 months.
Since SummerSlam.
And tonight, seeing it in Raymond James with the set and the fireworks and the drones and the special entrances and the majesty of it, of the stadium and the crowd, just to hear the roar of the crowd was just so magical. Because it's, oh my god, this is what wrestling used to be. Because you get so used to the Thunderdome. You get so used to fans not being there. Wrestling being very static in a sense. Because you don't have that same level of movement around the ring as what you do when there is a live crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the Thunderdome, you see people kind of moving on the screens. But it's very abstract because it's two-dimensional. It's flat. There aren't people there. Tonight, there were people there. They had their signs. They had their costumes. They had their title belts. They were posing in front of LED screens. They were having a good time. They were having fun. And just the roar of that crowd. It was not the biggest WrestleMania crowd we've ever had, but god damn it, they were there.
They were there.
And we salute you.
They were loud, too.
They were having fun. They were enjoying themselves. They were happy to be there, except for that one guy who messed up the cardboard cutouts and got kicked out because there was a weather delay, but what can you do? And this made me so happy because this is like what the Super Bowl was. This is another sign that we are coming out of the tunnel. We are coming out of the pandemic. Things are going to gradually start to go back to normal, and I couldn't be happier with that. But this WrestleMania... Sorry, go ahead.
Everything felt right. Mother Nature, on the other hand, was like, hey, you guys want to do a show? Not so fast.
Right? Like, the weather in Tampa, I think, has been beautiful for the last week.
This weekend?
We haven't had any problems.
This weekend?
Like, this morning, the weather in Tampa was beautiful. This afternoon, the weather turned dark and stormy, and the set did suffer some damage because of the storms in Tampa right before the show. They had a weather warning where they actually had to evacuate the stadium to the covered areas because there was a lightning warning due to storms that were rolling through before the show.
Yeah, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, people were like, wait.
And then the set, actually, the ship did suffer some damage. The sails got messed up. They fixed them as best as they could. But ultimately, they weren't able to get them perfect like what they had at the set reveal.
But here's the thing. It was a pirate theme, right? It worked.
It totally worked.
They went through war and survived. Guess what? We survived a year, a month, and a day without WWE fans.
And
it was
now
fitting.
We have it back.
For this weekend.
For this weekend, and then we'll go back to the... But it's a good sign that eventually they can come back.
Yeah.
So
let's talk...
Then,
what do you got?
Well, and then the storms weren't quite done because as WrestleMania is going to air, as Vince is giving his speech, more storms rolled in. They had to delay the start of the show. They had to delay the opening pyro because more storms came in. They evacuated everybody to the covered areas because, again, there was a lightning warning. So there was like a 15-20 minute period at the start of the show where they could not have anybody in the ring or at ringside or even out in the general area because they were worried people would get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Fair.
So before we get to the weather delay part, let's talk about that intro. That was awesome.
They sequeled the intro.
They did.
Last year. Yeah. You got the Jack Sparrow dude back.
It's like, wait, the normal voice over guy is doing the thing and then it cuts off. That's not how you do a cold open and then does this cold open bit. And then the other guy cuts back in. But you need the big finish. So we get the big finish. It was awesome.
Well, I was sitting here watching it and I was like, there was a point in it where they're like, epic, epicness. And I was like,
epic, epicness. History.
History of history.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, I smell a red herring here. Because even they had like the superstars be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the dude took over. I thought the opener was fantastic, the promo video. I thought it was really appropriate. It's kind of sad that it wasn't followed by the pyro that you're used to, because you're waiting for it and you're waiting for it, and then they don't do it, and it's like wah wah, and you're like, oh, okay. But there was a reason. There was lightning in the area, so they couldn't shoot it off. And unfortunately, like, because of the storms at the beginning of the show, everything except the ring got soaked, which led to complications down the road.
Which we'll get to.
But what was cool was they were smart. They pivoted. They found every backstage announcer they possess, and they just had people get up who were wrestling on night one and night two. Everybody that could talk. Everybody that could do a promo on the spot, everybody that had that capability, got on the mic and were able to cut a promo right then and there regarding their match. You had Lashley and Drew kind of get into it a little bit pre-match. You had MVP cut a nice promo. You had Kevin Owens cut a promo, because he's just like, he looked at the poor guy because it was the new dude.
Yeah.
And he was just like, can I just have the mic?
Just give me the mic. Just give me the mic. Give me the camera. I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to sit here, stand right here, talk to the people, sell them on tomorrow.
Yep.
Even though you don't need to be sold, I'm doing my job. I'm selling you on my match tomorrow what it actually means.
And I like that he did that, because there's so much history between him and Sammy that it's like it's just another Kevin and Sammy match. So he made sure that it felt special. It felt unique to this show versus it's just another match in a long line of matches. You had Seth, and cut a promo about Cesaro, which was really good.
And screwing up the announcer's name on purpose. Mike. Kevin. It's Kevin. Mike? Kevin? Can we do a Kevin Mike? Like hyphenate it or something?
I really kind of love what Seth's doing right now. It's so good.
Ah, that was great.
He plays it off really, really well.
He does. So we had all those promos, and they stalled. They did the best they could. It was great. They learned that they don't need a script. They can talk. People that can talk. Then you had Hogan and Titus do a thing. Titus just took over because it's Titus's town, and he's just going to be excited. And he was pumped.
He was super excited to be there. He was super excited to be in front of the fans. Because, again, he really hasn't had much of a role this past year. So for him to get this opportunity to do this, even if it is with Hogan, which I have a bone to pick with WWE after I say this, this is huge for him. Because they really put him in the spotlight in terms of giving him the Warrior Award and having him host WrestleMania. So it's a huge opportunity. So yeah, of course he's pumped. Of course he wants to prove himself. Because the last time we really kind of saw Titus at Mania, he slipped and fell under the ring. That's what he's known for WrestleMania.
That was at the greatest Royal Rumble ever.
Oh, right. Well, then... But that's what he's known for. That's slipping and falling under the ring.
The last time we saw him at WrestleMania he was the shock face after the Cena and Wyatt match.
That's right. I forgot about that. But yeah, he's not known for doing a lot at WrestleMania, so this is his opportunity to really hype up the crowd, really get into it, really enjoy it, and have fun with it. I will say, WWE, you're telling me that you're having Bayley run around essentially as the unofficial host of WrestleMania, and you couldn't do Titus O'Neil and Bayley as the host of WrestleMania. You had to book Hulk Hogan. Like, I get it. He's going in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be there anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But you're telling me I could have had Bayley and Titus O'Neil as the host of WrestleMania, and you didn't give that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all.
Hopefully she makes up for it tomorrow. But she was good tonight. We'll talk about her as we go.
Yeah. She had some moments tonight. So, rain delay is over. We are cleared to start wrestling.
I mean, apparently we're allowed to talk matches now because the diva of our group has showed up.
Oh, have we stalled long enough? Have we, like, done our stand-up promos long enough for him to show up?
Yeah, we weather delayed it for him. He's here now.
Okay.
And he says nothing.
You know, I'm so, like, ready to go. I'm just pacing back and forth just like Drew. Let's do this.
Okay. So we're going to do it. Lashley. McIntyre, WWE title on the line, kicks off the show. Drew almost fucks up the sword bit.
Well, it was a little slippery. I mean, as we learn later, it was a little slippery. But yeah, Drew had a really cool pyro for his entrance. Lashley, and this is where I felt a little sad, because it's like, wait, you're telling me you had actual, like, lightning in the area that, you know, for Bobby Lashley, and you couldn't capitalize on it? That just sucks, man. Like, WWE couldn't book that better if they tried. You get lightning storms. the night of WrestleMania as Bobby Lashley is supposed to walk out. Like, who does that, right? Like, Vince McMahon queued up the fucking weather to get actual natural lightning, and they're like, yeah, no, we can't do it, Vince. Sorry.
Sorry, it does not work. But Drew had an awesome entrance, even with the floating stones and the sword. Oh, speaking of swords, we have to talk about the start, because it came, like, before they tried to do the pyro, they just threw up the graphic thing. The big pirate and his really long sword.
They wanted to show you how big their sword is.
Yo ho.
They were showing off how big their sword really is.
A couple of times tonight. A
couple times.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that sword went all the way to Jacksonville.
See what you did there. Anyway, Lashley, McIntyre, WWE title. Drew was feeling himself early because it was like, okay, we're here. We got the crowd. I got my pop. We're doing this thing. Everything's good.
You could tell how emotional he was because he almost broke down for a second when he first got to the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
And it was really nice to see because you could tell not just for him, but with when they had the wrestlers on the stage and Vince did his initial promo, you could see like Sasha was feeling it.
Oh yeah, the initial promo. Thanks to
Rhea, almost cried.
Yeah.
Rhea, I think there were tears hitting her eyes at that point.
As Lindsay noted to me with the opening promo from Vince, there's a new McMahon. Roman McMahon.
Take her left, Vince. He retired, so Vince adopted a new son in Roman Reigns.
Hey, he doesn't have to work till tomorrow, so he was in his Saturday's best.
He was.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the placement. Fact that you have the McMahon family up front. And Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Because it went Hunter, Steph, Vince, Roman, Shane, Paul. That's how it was in the very front. You had Roman Reigns in between Vince and his natural born son. Like, at least Steph got to stand next to her dad.
I mean, like you do.
Like you do. But it was just like, I guess because Mark left, Vince needed somebody else to fill the role, so there's Roman.
There's Roman Reigns for you. But these two had a good match.
This was probably their best showing to date, and I put all of it on the fact that they had a live crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it was a live crowd. I think finally these guys were given styles for themselves that allowed for a match like this. Because no offense, when Drew first fought at Mania with Roman 2 years ago, or 3 years ago,
this is not good.
Boring.
Well, it was boring, but I think it was because Drew hadn't found himself. He was still navigating what his move set was going to be for his character and everything.
They were,
and
he was trapped.
And
in
Roman just fought his usual Roman match.
He was trapped in the heel boring style.
Yeah,
that's what he was trapped in. He was generic heel style wrestling. This, he looked good. Lashley looked really good and powerful in this one. And they just, there was a lot of nice counters. And that was the story they were telling. He was Lashley countered the Claymore a few times in this match. I don't think Drew actually hit it at all.
No.
No.
He was about to, but but that was the distraction spot.
Yeah, it was the distraction spot in the end. MVP distracted McIntyre for one quick second, allowed him to miss the Claymore and get trapped in that hurt lock. Bobby Lashley wins.
Well, and what I like about that was when Drew was in it, he put up probably the most fight we've seen someone do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone thought at that one moment where he goes to the corner and he pulls the Bret Hart spot that it was, oh, he's going to roll over Lashley and pick up the win that way because Lashley's going to be locked into it. And then they rolled through it and Lashley still had it. And you were kind of like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
They're doing this.
We all thought he was going to get that pop, Lindsay. He didn't.
The pop coming out, but yeah, I really actually approve of the fact, and I shouldn't say approve, but I really like the fact that they didn't go predictable. They didn't go with Drew winning, because I think a lot of people had Drew penciled in as winning the title of Mania to as a reward or as a way to give him the pop he never got. Excuse me. So the fact that they didn't do it, the fact that you had Bobby Lashley retain, and he did it in really an incredibly dominant manner. Like, Bobby took the fight to Drew, like, that's the most aggressive I think we've seen Bobby
mm-hmm.
yet. Because again,
really good.
He was driven.
Yeah.
And like the fans and the energy in the building, like just the energy in the building, everybody pumped up. They were all excited. They were all there to work. And so I feel like that is what really helped this match just be over the top, is because they had something to prove. They had fans to pop. They had a reason for a lot of the things that they did. So I really appreciate how they handled this and how they did this. And yeah, I mean, I'm cool with the finish on this. Absolutely. I think a lot of people were, or I shouldn't say a lot, but some people were upset about Drew losing.
But it's okay. He can recover. Like, this is not like a babyface can recover from losing this type of way, because he was beaten. He was overconfident. He thought he could beat Bobby Lashley. But Bobby Lashley, who's been booked strong for 6 months, as a destroyer and a dominator, destroyed and dominated and retained his title.
Well, yep.
And the interesting thing is, so Lashley's going to hold the belt for a little while now, because mm-hmm. you're going to really want to continue that tale of Bobby being the almighty, the dominant force. But as we've talked about before, and how this may play into tomorrow night, if you have that dominant force, if you have someone that's running roughshod over a division, and you put someone in a position to beat them, that helps elevate the other guy. Because if, let's say, Bobby has gone through people like Drew, you know, maybe Strowman by another point, you know, if he's running roughshod over a division and someone is able to get a win on him,
mm-hmm.
that's big. That's why when Drew beat Lesnar last year, that helped make Drew even more.
Yeah, Drew is solid where he's at. He's a main eventer. Title or no mm-hmm. title, he's a main event player for that brand. Which is, you know, he's been made. You wanted to see him get the pop. Yeah, he just didn't get the pop.
They can give it to him later.
Yeah.
If they want to, if they need to. He can always get it when the fans are back fully. He can get it next year. He could get it at SummerSlam if we have fans at SummerSlam. He could get it at Survivor Series if we have fans, which, please God, I hope we have fans by Survivor Series. But yeah, no, I think they did the right finish here. Again, they did the unpredictable finish. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people had the expectation that Drew was going to win.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And Bobby held on to his title. And let's see what Bobby does with it.
Well, and then there's also the question of, if you do want to have, let's say Drew is the one that's going to take it off of Bobby, maybe in 2 months. The story you can tell now is, if Drew can be like, you know, oh yeah, I took my eyes off the ball for a minute. But Bobby, you needed help to win. You needed him. If it was just us, you couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, now you're getting into Bobby's head of, you know, MVP helping him win, and you can, and it starts to build like, you know, no, I don't need you. And MVP is kind of like, wait, I got you to this point, and now you're going to cast me away? So you could build a story just off of that if you want to make it the moment where Drew wins. But it could also be someone else. We don't know.
I mean, it could have a bigger star in the works. We'll see.
We'll certainly see. But a solid opener, a good actual opener. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania. Moving on.
Before we get to the match, we went backstage, and this was the first sign of Bayley. So you have Titus and the NWO hanging out, and Bayley walks up, hey, ding dong, hello, and does her whole shtick, and then she's trying to get too sweet to buy everyone. She goes up to Kevin Nash, and Kevin Nash does the hair thing, like, no. But Kevin Nash, Lindsay, he was amused.
Bayley's antics. He was digging it. He was here for it. Like, he's standing there trying not to laugh, right? Because he's like, I see you.
I see what you're doing.
I see you.
It was great.
But yeah, Titus just didn't want to deal with it at all. He was just mm-hmm. like, I'm out. But I love that the first one to do it was X-Pac. He's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. You got
it. Of course, whatever. If anyone, it's Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll be your friend. And the others are just like, no.
We're out. Sorry. Bye. But that was good. It was a good use of Bayley. We'll have more Bayley to come.
So we go to the next match, which I will fully on admit that this was not the best showing for the ladies, but they tried. They tried really, really super hard in this. It was the tag team turmoil where Naomi and Lana took on Natalya and Tamina, the Riot Squad, Carmella and Billie Kay. God bless Billie Kay.
She was awesome. Billie Kay was amazing.
Yeah. And then Mandy and Dana is the final.
Yep.
Okay.
Five.
Okay. Sorry, Mandy. Watch where you're going and don't step in the puddle.
Oh, Mandy.
That was so sad for her. If you
your big mania entrance.
And she slipped and fell.
She slipped and fell on the wet ramp, on the wet carpet on the ramp, because it was still soaked. Like, it was damp to the point that, like, you could see the footprints left in the ramp from where they were walking out. That's how wet the carpet on the ramp was, which I'm not sure why they put carpet on the ramp this year, but they did.
I'm wondering if they did that to try and lessen the water, because if it was just, like, plastic, then it would have been uber slick. At least this way, it's, like, just squishy.
I don't know, because I feel like with the plastic, it would have had a chance to potentially dry out a little bit more than the carpet, because the carpet's just holding the moisture. So, like, the plastic, at least it would have run off and run down the ramp, which it probably did, and then they would have been able to potentially, like, squeegee it off or wipe it off or whatever enough for people to make their entrances. But yeah, poor Mandy. Like, she and Dana had this fabulous look. They both came out looking like Malibu Barbie. They're strutting their stuff to the ring, and then Mandy just, like, ass plants right there on the ramp yeah. as they're walking in.
You had the Riot Squad as Harley and the Joker.
That was... Because at first I was kind of like, oh, Ruby has the green hair. And then it's like, the more I saw her, I was like, oh, wait. Okay, because you saw the red and blue on Liv.
So you knew
and by the way, nice coordination with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you saw Liv, you knew Harley. And then it's like, it took you a second, but you're like, oh, nice team.
Yeah. So the highlights of this were Billy Kay's over-the-top antics. The Riot Squad were awesome in this match. They tried holding this match up together, which was a lot of good effort on their part. In the end, Natty and Tamina are headed tomorrow to challenge for the titles.
And Nia and Shayna really aren't that concerned.
No, they're not concerned at all. So that's what that was. It was what it was. If you had expectations for it to be a show stealer, you were sadly mistaken. But the girls went out there and did what they should do. It was fine.
They tried. I'll give them credit. They tried. There were some not great spots.
No, but all right. I'll explain like this. For anyone who wants to criticize them, here's some criticism. And it's not on them. You booked a tag team turmoil match, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gave them 15 minutes to get five teams over.
Yeah, it was a little tricky.
It's a lot of quick.
So everyone's out there rushing to get their stuff in. And they're all trying to get their stuff in. Between entrances and everything, they're trying to get it all in, all done. That's it. But they did what they could do in the situation they were given.
Mm-hmm.
They did their best, all things considered, but there were just a couple really sloppy moments. Also attributed this to the fact that maybe people were a little bit rusty, people were nervous, that kind of thing.
People were hesitant about the ringside area.
Yeah, with the rain and everything. So, like, there are a lot of factors going into this with the botches and everything. But they did their best. That's the best I can say about it. They tried. It was not a wonderful match by any stretch of the imagination, but they tried.
Hey, they got 14 minutes to go out there and try to get everything in. That's 10 people, 14 minutes. That's nothing. A turmoil match, like when you see it on Raw, they go 20, 30, 40 minutes where you have a chance to tell the story. They didn't have a chance. They were put in a spot where they weren't given a chance to tell the story.
Yeah.
Everyone else can bitch and complain about anything else they want. That's the truth. Let's move on.
So things only trend upward from here. Up next, you had the King of Swing, Cesaro, taking on the King of Sleaze, Seth Rollins. This was Cesaro's coming out party in a lot of ways. I think we've been waiting to see something like this from Cesaro for a really, really, really long time. And he and Seth took it to each other. They know each other extremely well. So they went out there and put on a show.
Okay, a few things. Number one, his pre-show drip.
I like that he had the candy bar, that he was like a sleazy Willy Wonka.
The candy bar was a Photoshop thing.
I do have to say, love his interview with Kevin. Mike, Kevin, can we hyphenate that?
That was great. It was so great.
It's so smarmy, and yet just, it worked. It just worked.
He's like I said, he's really feeling this character. I think he's really enjoying it. And it just works for him. It works for his personality. Where he's gone back to being that sort of smarmy, sleazy kind of heel. That he did really, really well in the Authority. That's kind of what he's gone back to doing. And it's working for him. It's working for him really well. Especially against someone like Cesaro. who's a little bit more straight arrow, a little bit more upstanding in certain regards, but is still going to come in there and take the fight to him. And we saw some new stuff.
Yeah, before we get to
Adam Seth.
We'll get to that in a second. Speaking of new stuff with him, the music. He actually got good music.
Thank God.
I like that it's the mix from his previous one in there, mm-hmm. too. Like, in the middle, drops Burn It Down.
Yeah. After what we heard at NXT, it was like, I'm worried about new music if anyone gets it. He got good music.
Well, I think they made sure he got good music. He did have some pyro issues. Not all of his flame sticks lit, but rain.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, they did have some production issues with the pyro. They did have some production issues overall. Whoever let the intern into the truck, please don't do that tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah, the hot mic needs to be cleared up. I'm sorry.
It wasn't even the hot mic. It was the camera cuts throughout the night. They were just off a little bit.
No, there was a hot mic at one point.
That was during the rain delay. It was when they were doing the rain delay and they were sent to a video package. I can excuse that. They're all scrambling.
Yeah.
But
that was your rain delay. Oh shit, what do we do? Yeah, what do we do?
The camera cuts were a little off at some points. It's like, it's a wide shot for some reason and it's on the floor for, anyway. So there was nice counters with the neutralizer. The one thing that hurt my soul in this match, it hurt deep into my soul. Lindsay knows it. The pedigree as a transition finisher. It hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt deep down inside.
But here's the thing. Seth got rid of it as a finisher. There's only one person who can truly deliver the pedigree. It's not effective when it's someone else.
I know, but it hurt. I know.
I'm one of those people that rails against the fact that, like, a DDT is not effective anymore. Or, you know, sweet chin music does not do the same thing anymore.
Those hurt. It hurts deep and down in the soul.
It does. But
there was a time where that move got hit and that was it. It was over.
Unless you were Dwayne.
Yeah.
Unless you were Dwayne or Taker.
Or Steve.
But that's about it.
But holy shit, this match.
This was really good. Rollins did, what was it? What did he try to do? I forget what he did now. Like the off the top rope.
He kind of did this spinning.
Oh, he did the corkscrew splash.
Yeah, the corkscrew splash. That was awesome.
He's been working on that.
That was a nice one because usually you see him do like a frog splash or he does the phoenix.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one was just he went straight corkscrew and it was like, oh, not only Seth's dipping into the bag tonight.
Not only did it corkscrew, he got height on it too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, he sees Montez delivering that frog splash, and he's like, shit, I gotta up my game, because that guy can jump, like, to the ship.
All right, so the story of this match was they sold the arm for Cesaro, so he couldn't do the swing at the beginning, and it would work into the end where, you know, will he be able to lock it in? That UFO spin, no-hand UFO spin.
Jesus, God. I thought he was going to do, like, the Wardlow F10, and then he takes his hand off, and I was like, oh. And I just have to say, kudos to Seth to having the trust in Cesaro to just go with it, because if he moves at any point, he's going to land horribly.
Yeah. Kudos to Seth for having the full core strength to be able to stay up on Cesaro's shoulders like that. Because the final tally for the UFO was 23 spins.
No, the
that was the
swing.
That was the full. That was the regular spin.
Oh, that was the second one. Sorry.
He did like 10 in the UFO, and holy shit.
But once,
I just got really dizzy after he did the UFO, and then he did the 23 one, and I'm just like, I can't. Please stop spinning.
But yeah, he did he went from one spin to another. But once he dropped his hands, like, holy crap. Like, oh, it's an airplane spin. Cool. Drops the arms, and it was like, okay. All right, but go ahead.
I still think my move of the night, though, was Seth goes for the stomp, and Cesaro knocks him into about the third row with that European uppercut.
Mm-hmm.
That was so pretty.
That thing is so stiff, but looks so good. I kind of want to see Cesaro go against Walter, because someone is legitimately not making it out of that match.
I don't know if the internet's ready for Cesaro versus Walter.
Just picture the chop.
Oh, I'm picturing it. That would be snug. That would be super snug. Somebody wouldn't have nipples left, or who?
Not sure who, but yeah. So Cesaro got his big WrestleMania win.
And he was very emotional.
He was emotional, and by God, it is such a shame that the entire crowd was not there for him tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They popped their asses off on that three.
They did.
And hopefully Vince is in the back going, ah.
Okay.
Like, I know we had the Cesaro section stuff before, but people really seem to like this guy now.
They do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. So, up next, Big E doing the entrance. Kofi Woods, The New Day, defending against AJ Styles and Omos.
My little fan heart popped so bad when Big E walked out.
That was great.
I was so happy.
So they got...
And he's hyping his boys, too, right before. He's just like, you go do this! Do it! And you're like, yes!
So they were all in on the entrance, and everyone's wondering what Omos is going to do. So they spent the match where Woods and Kofi beat down AJ repeatedly, and Woods is screaming, you're not a tag team wrestler. This is effectively cutting off the side of the ring. This is showing why we're the team, and you're not a tag team. I was like, oh, God, Woods. But Woods was feeling himself.
He was into the crowd. So was Kofi. They were digging it. They were feeling it. I have to give full respect to AJ Styles because he wrestled pretty much this entire match with Kofi and Xavier until almost got in the ring. And he did a great job. Like, this whole match was really well put together because it was built that at some point, Omos is going to get the hot tag. And then what are they going to do? And when Omos got that hot tag and he came in the ring, Woods just
sold it.
Xavier Woods just sold it like a champ because he was like, oh, shit.
The best part is the entire match, they're waving at Omos. They're poking the goddamn bear.
Yep, they taunted the bear and, well.
And the second that they knew they screwed up, when AJ's just sitting up in the ring, Woods is on the top rope, but Kofi's nowhere near.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
That moment of, oh, shit. That's when we know we fucked up.
And then they put Omos in a spot to look dominant.
Him laughing at Kofi and Xavier before he's like, yeah, now I'm going to kill you.
He had a little
like, legit, that's what he did.
He had legit some speed on him, too. He moved so good.
I like his style. I want to see more, but I like how he's not terribly fast. You have AJ for that. He just looks dominant. Like, he just looks badass in the ring, which he should. He's supposed to, but
he's 7'3", 330. He should.
He's a big dude, and he can move really well. He can do a couple moves really well. I think they still have a lot of work to do with him, but you can tell that he has been working on his ring stuff.
Yeah. Hold on, Matt. No, he's not Brock. This is a giant. Brock's a beast. This is a giant. Continue.
He's a Big Show type.
Kevin Nash. He's a bigger Kevin Nash.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say is, remember when a couple of months ago they announced that some people were being sent down to get some special big man seasoning? And they sent Otis down there. They sent Omos down there to, you know, essentially refine how to work the big man style.
He's been working. He's been put to higher.
I think tonight is proof. And no offense, I think the way Otis has been wrestling recently is proof. They may have known what they were doing in that moment.
Because they had to get reps in, like, because they're not working every weekend. They're working once a week, maybe, on TV. You gotta get working. Gotta get some reps. Like,
and no offense, working a big man style is a lot different than, you know, working an AJ style. You've gotta know how to move with your frame.
Yeah. So he's out there doing backbreakers and claws and whatever. And then he's like, oh, he's dominating. And then out of nowhere, Lindsay, random AJ off the shoulders.
Yep, like Omos is just standing there by the ring ropes. And all of a sudden, boom, there's an AJ Styles. He just hops up on Omos' shoulders and flies. And you're like, oh, hi, AJ. Like, it was just, it was really random. It was really weird, but it was fun. Because then Omos goes for the pin and he plants his foot on Kofi's
chest
and 1, 2, 3, your new tag team champions, Omos and AJ Styles, which I'm here for this because honestly, who can take out Omos? That's the question. Like, the dude is just all power.
Yeah, he is. So AJ's like, put the boot on him. Like,
yeah, put the one foot. One foot.
It's great. So AJ Styles, Omos are your new tag team champions of Monday Night Raw.
Ooh, so up next, The Strowman Express is coming into the station. That's right, guys. The official human sacrifice of WrestleMania has arrived. In the form of Shane McMahon and his drones.
That was cool.
Which was really, really cool. He had a lot of, like, money symbols, too. Where they're going to be facing each other in a steel cage. It's good to note that Taker's fog machines are still there
and
they still work.
Yeah, that was blinding.
Jesus.
All right, so let's lay this match out. Braun sold his leg because they beat him up beforehand. Shane did all his spots. Shane's leaving. Braun's like, and then he waves goodbye to Braun. Braun's like, nope, sucker, come here. So he gets up on the ropes and he pulls open the cage and pulls Shane through.
Before that, Shane's waving. Braun grabs his arm, and I thought he was going to try and pull Shane McMahon through the little bit of the cage.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Because he could.
But
Shane's arm is just dangling in there, and you're just thinking, oh god, he's going to rip the arm off.
Yeah. So, unique in that we don't see people pulled into a cage like that. Then it's like, okay, he pulled him through the cage, and we're going to get the finish. Oh no, Braun's like, sucker, we're going up. So he puts Shane on top of the cage. Strowman goes up on the cage. Good lord, big man on top of cage. God,
that was terrifying.
Terrifying to watch. And then he chucks Shane off the cage. He's dead. He is completely dead. So what does Braun do? He gets down, scoops him up, power slams him. He picks up the dead carcass just to make sure it's dead and drops him for the win.
I mean, when Rock says that Shane got thrown, he got air and he bounced when he landed.
Yeah, it was a thud.
That did not feel good. I can promise you that did not feel good, and Shane McMahon is going to regret his life choices tomorrow morning, but then he'll realize it was worth it. So happy WrestleMania, y'all. Shane McMahon has taken the massive ass bump and died for our sins.
Braun did it for us. All the people got bullied.
What scares me is Shane did that tonight. We know someone's going to try and do something stupid tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
I hope he tries.
We've talked about it. We've speculated exactly what it's going to be. With Shane's bump tonight, you just look at that and go, oh god, you know he's looking at that and just looked over at Sammy and went, we can do better.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. All right, so now we do the Hall of Fame, but before the Hall of Fame came out, Bailey gets involved with them at ringside, which was great.
Bailey found Michael Cole.
It was great.
Finally!
So it's like, little sprinkles of Bailey made this show. But then, so they did a Hall of Fame, yay. I don't know what Nikki was wearing, but whatever.
I mean, she did a thing. I don't think it worked, but she did a thing.
It was a basketball jersey with a tail.
Yeah.
It's a train. Get it right.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the two most important matches of this show. Up first, it's Bad Bunny and Damian Priest taking on Miz and John Morrison. Okay.
Here we go.
This was awesome. First, in the entrance. The entrance of Miz and Morrison. Okay? They come out to a horde of bunnies first. Just popping down the ring. Two ears, one ears. I don't know.
The ears
got lost in transit in some cases. I applaud the intern or costume person that found that many bunny costumes, because there were at least like a dozen to two dozen people in bunny outfits hopping to the ring around Miz and Morrison as they came out and sang their latest hit, Hey Hey, Hop Hop.
I mean, to be fair, if you're going to try and find bunny suits, the week after Easter is prime season for that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's turned them in.
But okay, a lot of people will crap on it. I saw the embarrassing one of, you know, this is when people walk in the room. It's like, why? It's not dicks at all in. Anyway,
that's edgy.
That's edgy and cool and hip. Except now they don't want any part of him. Because reasons. But
no one wants any part of him.
Then you had Miz and Morrison come out and do the live version of the song. Apparently, it was better in the building than it was, because you can actually hear in the building. So production flaw. On that one. So there's that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Damian Priest does his big fire entrance, and then Bad Bunny with the truck.
Bad Bunny rolls up fashionably late with, you know, some good music and a can of whoop ass for Miz and Morrison. I think he got Becky's, and you said this, I think he got Becky's entrance from last year.
Mm-hmm, because she had the truck.
Because she had the truck. So I think they probably repainted the truck, or they got a different truck. And they had Bad Bunny roll up in the truck.
He rolled up on top of the truck.
It was all lighted. It was cool. They had pyro shooting off that they had probably shot the night before. But he rolls up to literally to Raymond James on the top of this truck, and then they drive the truck into the building. And he gets down and he's ready for a match. He's ready for a fight. And truth be told, I don't think people had a lot of expectations for this one. It was kind of like the Braun and Shane one, where it's like, for Braun and Shane, it's like you have a very low expectation, and it was better than I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. This one was leaps and bounds better than what a lot of people thought it was going to be, because it's a celebrity match. And typically speaking, when we get a celebrity match, they're not long. They're usually not entertaining. They're just there because the celebrity does not want to really do a whole lot of bumps, or they're not able to do a whole lot of bumps because of insurance or other reasons. Bad Bunny, absolutely not. That is not how this went. Bad Bunny, I have nothing but respect for him. If he wants to become a WWE superstar, if the music thing doesn't work out, I'm on board for that, because this dude rolled up with no wrestling experience, got training for 3 months, and put on a potential match of the night candidate just because he was out there doing Hurricane Ranas. He was doing tornado DDTs. He hit a fucking Canadian destroyer.
He did.
A perfect Canadian destroyer. Yeah.
This dude went out there tonight and worked a professional wrestling match for 15 minutes.
And he sold his ass off, too!
He sold
better than half the roster. I'm going to be real.
That's what I'm saying. He worked a match tonight. There are celebrities come in. Okay, everyone talked up Shaq on Dynamite, right? Shaq did good. He did. But he didn't do it. He didn't take bump. He took one bump. One. Through a table. That's it. Because he worked a big man match. This dude right here went out there and worked. You look at Pat McAfee, what he did with Cole. This dude worked his ass off.
This is on par with what Pat McAfee did.
And here's the thing. Here's the one. Here, the difference between the two. Bad Bunny sold better. Bad Bunny moved better. Bad Bunny looked like an athlete in that ring. Not taking anything from Pat, but he sold everything that was thrown at him. It started with Miz and just throwing punches. Miz being cocky, and then he just slugged him. It was great. Lindsay mentioned this, head scissors takedowns, like the Kelly spot. Looked really good.
He did the Falcon Arrow in stereo with Damian Priest at one point.
That was awesome.
Because we had a chat going on at the time, and I said I am absolutely impressed that he delivered a suplex like that, because you would never give a celebrity a suplex spot, because that requires you to hold your opponent up for at least some portion. So you have to have some good core strength to be able to do it, and the man did it.
Like I said, he worked a goddamn wrestling match to perfection. It was entertaining. He knew when to sell. He knew when to hit the hot spots. He was in position every single time. He didn't screw up once.
You can tell this meant a lot to him, and he took it very, very seriously. He trained for this. He listened to his trainers, and then he executed what they had taught him. Does he have the most diverse moveset in the world? No, but he's not supposed to. He's only been wrestling for 3 months. Like, that's the thing. 3 months, and they made this dude look like the rock star that he is in the ring, just based on what he could do. And I mean, it's like I said, if he wants to come back, I think we're all fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brent.
I was going to say, I think the thing with him is he's not supposed to have a diverse moveset, because guess what? He's not a wrestler. As much as he's had a great match here, if he came out and pulled off, you know, a lot, I mean, don't get me wrong, he still did a good number of moves, and he did them really well. But if he had an entire moveset all lined up, the believability would go out the window, because you're kind of like, wait, he shouldn't be doing all of this.
So he was the smartest, I told this to Lindsay as we were watching, he was the smartest celebrity ever to get doing these things. So remember when he went up to the top rope to do the dive to the outside? He didn't wait. He just did it. He trusted his people to be in the right position, and he didn't hesitate. Once you get up there and hesitate, things go wrong. He went up, took the long way up, jumped right off, hit his move. He was perfect on that. And also, big props to The Miz. Big props to John Morrison for making that man look like $1 million, selling everything for him.
Yeah, they deserve massive rounds of applause for their part in this. Damian Priest, same thing. Damian Priest went in there and got the hot tag, did the cleanup on the match, and then they had Bad Bunny come back. They had him do the finish. He got the pin. I mean, this was just a really well put together match on any terms, but especially for a celebrity who doesn't really know what they're doing. They don't really, and that's not to knock Bad Bunny, but he doesn't have the experience of what Miz Morrison and Damian Priest have.
No.
This isn't his livelihood. He's going to go back to being an incredibly successful music star after this. Like, he's done, presumably. He kicked Miz's ass. Honor has been satisfied. He's going to leave. So,
but he integrated himself into WWE television for 3 months, came, started a Royal Rumble, made his run through WrestleMania, appeared on at least one of the pay-per-views, was on basically every Raw except for like two, and he did everything he was supposed to do. He delivered a hot angle from the beginning to the end and paid it off on the big stage. There are celebrities who come and go. They come in, they do their big angle, they disappear, they come in for their match. He was there from beginning to end, made it work.
Tyson Fury, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, well, and also there's a good relationship now where, like you said before, if Bad Bunny does want to come back, let's say, oh, maybe he has a new album coming out. And it's like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool is if we could do another, you know, synergistic moment. WWE will absolutely, after tonight, be like, yes, totally. Just give us a call. Let us know what you want to do.
Do I ever see Bad Bunny doing another match? No. Do I see him coming back and doing a big spot on Raw or a pay-per-view? Yeah, because now he's properly trained to do it.
And you've got the setup with Damian Priest that he could come back and repay the favor that Damian Priest has done for the past 3 months, which is essentially be his buddy, his bodyguard, and, you know, kind of his big brother. So, like, I could absolutely see them, if they wanted to bring Bad Bunny back and he helps Damian either win a title or win a really big match or something like that, just to return the favor, because Damien didn't have to help him.
Ah, Bad Bunny, he did. Bad Bunny had his own, held his own. It was good.
But also tonight, Damien looked every bit the dominant big man he could be.
He didn't do a lot, but guess what?
He looked good.
He looked really good. He rode the train. He was there to make sure Bad Bunny did. He was there to be the wrestler in Bad Bunny's side, and that's what you needed. He was the bodyguard to beat up the two punks, and that's everything you needed.
And you know what? Miz and Morrison are not going to lose anything from this.
Nope.
God, no.
If anything, yeah, you know what? They're the heels that will lick their wounds, but they're going to move right on into the next angle. They'll still be entertaining. It's all get out. It's what exactly you want from them.
Yeah, they were the cocky heels to play the part. They did everything they were supposed to do and delivered. Again, big props to Bad Bunny for putting in the work. Big props to John Morrison and Mike the Miz Mizanin for delivering and being there to make a WrestleMania moment. Because up until this point, you were missing a WrestleMania moment. Flat out. There wasn't really much. They delivered.
They absolutely delivered. This was a potential match of the night candidate, but it got
just
beaten.
They were like, by two, like, women who went out there and went, yep, we got this.
Yeah, well, Bunny and Damian were like, beat that. The girls were like,
okay,
you got it.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, we were talking about the main event of this show, which was Sasha Banks taking on Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This was everything you expect a main event to be and more. It was hard-hitting. There was a hair whip at the end that you felt all the way from your couch.
Yeah, yeah. But before we get to all that, one, they both had fantastic entrances.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Glitz, glamour, and everything. And then the two women got the introductions and they stood in the ring and went, holy crap, we're here.
You know what this was? Remember 2 years ago when we heard, or 2 to 3 years ago when we heard about the quote-unquote hissy fit?
It was.
And someone was not happy with their status at Mania?
She was going through a lot.
She was going through a lot. I just want everyone to realize this is Sasha's big damn moment tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Being there because she can say, above all else, she main evented a WrestleMania and had the match of the damn night. So, end of story. That's all she needs.
That's all she needs. So the two women stood in the ring and they took in the moment. Tears were brought to the eye as they stood there and went, all right, this is us. We got a crowd. We're in the main event. this is a big moment for, this is a historic moment, not just for their culture or whatever. It's just a historic moment. They mentioned it on the pre-show. It's not about race or anything, women or whatever. It's a historic moment. And that's how you describe it. It's history, what we saw. They wiped the tears away and then they went for it.
I loved the moment with the tears because it was Bianca that kind of started it, because Bianca had the moment. Bianca's standing there and she's taking it in. She's taking in the crowd. She's taking in the vastness of the stadium. She's taking the set. She's looking at everything and it just gets to her because she has worked so damn hard to get here. Like, she's busted her butt. We met Bianca Belair as a contestant in the Mae Young Classic, and she's worked her way up to being the SmackDown Women's Champion. Like, it's a wonderful story, and I know that when they brought her up, they were really wishy-washy with her, and I think she's been incredibly frustrated. But she stuck with it, she's persevered, and now here she is. She's getting her WrestleMania moment. And her family were there, her husband was there backstage. Like, it's just, it was a big deal to her, and she got a little misty-eyed as a result. And I respect that, because you know what? This means something to her. This is important to her. This is everything to her. And you know, in that moment, especially when Sasha was like, yep, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do this. This is pretty cool. That you were going to see something incredibly special. And that's not even doing it justice, because these two women, holy crap, they tried to kill each other. Bianca's just pure power.
Yeah,
there's no other way to describe her.
She showed off her power. She press slammed her up on her arms and walked up them stairs and put her in the ring. And then there was that stalling suplex spot where she wouldn't let her go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, before, you know, when Bianca was in NXT, there are people that came out, and I want to say it was like Booker T, who I think helped train her at one point, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember.
But it's like Booker T and Mark Henry had come out publicly and been like, someone you need to keep your eye on is this girl. She has everything. She's going to be like a star. Not just, you know, a big performer. She's going to be a star mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah.
And tonight, you saw everything that they saw years ago, because holy shit, the press slam up the stairs.
That was awesome.
And the trust, again, that Sasha had to have, because in that moment, she's completely vulnerable.
Especially on that night. On that night, with the rain and everything, to trust her to walk up those steps, because you do not know what they're like.
And Bianca did it flawlessly.
Mm-hmm. So she did the stalling suplex where she just kept squatting and squatting and putting, nope, you're not going down just yet. You want to go? No, wait.
She did that, and then she did the hanging springboard suplexes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to bounce you off this rope. Okay, now I'm going to mm-hmm. carry you over to the middle of the ropes this way and do the same thing.
Yep.
It's just like, Jesus Christ!
She did a standing shooting star. So the best parts of this match was, like, Sasha kept fighting, trying to fight through her, try to stop the power. She would use the hair anytime she could. Like, but the one changing moment of the match was when she went for the 450, Sasha got her knees up, and you felt that one. That one.
Mm-hmm.
That one hurt.
Yeah, that one did hurt. I like how Bianca's hair came in as a factor in this match, where Sasha used it against Bianca. Because that's always been kind of my thing with Bianca's hair, is it's really cool the way that she uses it, incorporates it, but it's like, that's such a...
It's a liability.
It's a liability for her, because as we saw, Sasha used it against her. She used it as a way to get hold of Bianca and potentially try to propel her into things or put her into submission holds or what have you. So I like how they told that story with that. That it's like, yes, it's a great tool for Bianca because it's attached to her head. So technically it's not a weapon, but it's completely a weapon, as we saw tonight. But it's also a detriment to her.
Mm-hmm.
It can also cost her, because somebody can easily get a hold of her and hold on to her because of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
So as they were going through all this stuff, and she used the hair, she tied her up with the hair into the bank statement, which was very well done. The trio woe spot we need to talk about. So there are a lot of people just hang there, right? They hold on mm-hmm. there, they hang there and wait. What Bianca did was smart. She was fighting to try to, like, grab the top rope, but she could only get to the middle. She was fighting the entire way. And then she knew when she was coming. So she countered it. Not once, but twice. Which was Smart. Bella, she then hit the, what, the 450, got the two count. Then you saw that frustration start to build. It's like, ooh, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? So Sasha was using the hair to stop Bianca. Bianca used her hair. Whoop, Sasha. The thud. It sounded like a gunshot went off when she slapped her with the hair. That's
how
that...
You could feel it through the TV.
It got me out of my seat. It was like, boom. I was like, oh.
And we've heard that hair whip before, and you just kind of go, ooh.
Ooh, it wasn't
this
that.
This one was bad.
And for anyone who says wrestling is fake, go to Twitter. Look at Sasha Banks. There's pictures. Oh,
there's a mark that's going to be there for a week.
It's a long-ass line that's just across the side of her rib cage. It's just like, boom.
You know, Sasha went backstage and was just like, all right, girl, I got you. You owe me dinner now.
Give me ice. I need ice. That just, yeah, that's gonna, just wrap, someone wrap ice right there, please. That's gonna sting for a few days. But then she went for the KOD. Banks got out of it. That's where she hit the whip. Boom. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Bianca Belair is your new SmackDown Women's Champion. Bravo to these women. They delivered on the main stage. It didn't go on too long. It wasn't too short. It was perfect. They had the right amount of time.
Yeah, that was a nice thing about the show overall was the fact that it started 20 minutes late. They didn't rush anything. They didn't have to take any time off of anything. I think they knew the weather. I think they built in time for the weather because they did have to be off the air by midnight per city ordinance.
Yeah.
So I think they were very smart about this and they built time as they needed to ensure that they could get the show off smoothly. And despite the hiccups with the production issues and the pyro issues and the fact that they had lightning throughout the show, I think this was a really good WrestleMania. And I'm not going to say it's bad for the simple fact that we got it. Because I don't think it was bad. Because in comparison to last year, where it was the WrestleMania that almost got canceled, and the only reason we got it was because they were able to convince the state of Florida to let them run their own damn building that they own. I can't judge this because this was WrestleMania.
This felt a true
WrestleMania. You got your moment at the end where, you know, you got to go home feeling good. You had your big moments. You had great matches. This was Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt amazing to have this feeling again.
You had your ebbs and your flows, your ups and your downs, but once you got to the main matches that were supposed to deliver, Seth and Cesaro in the middle was good, but Bad Bunny and that match delivered a WrestleMania caliber match. Boom. The girls delivered their main event. The opener was pretty good as well. Start to finish, the show was fun, it was entertaining. You can criticize it, and everyone will, whoever has a podcast like we do, will. They'll rip on things and say, this sucked, and yada, yada, yada. If you had fun, don't rip it apart. Enjoy it.
I think this gave people so much hope, which is what we all need right now, is we need to start to build each other back up. We need to start to come out of this really dark period that we've been in. And this includes WWE, because they felt the struggle just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And they've worked their hardest to put on a product. Has it always been the best product? No, it has not. But they have tried. And the same thing goes for AEW. AEW has tried to put on the best product that they can. Have they always succeeded? No. But they're trying. And that's the thing, is it's like, I'm going to go back to it. WWE, AEW, they could have shut down like ROH, like Impact. They could have gone completely dark and not run at all for a year. A straight, solid year. You think all the moments that we've had over the last 12 months, we wouldn't have had any of those because they wouldn't have been running.
Nope.
So I'm beyond grateful for WrestleMania this year because I've seen what it would be like without it, more or less, and I don't like it. So nope. The fact that we had the fans, the fact that we had, you know, all the problems that we had, that's just life.
This was fun, exciting, enjoyable. It was just, yeah, it was great.
I think we all needed this.
We did. And guess what?
We get to do it again!
We get to do it all again tomorrow. Another night of WrestleMania.
I know we've talked dread about, you know, oh, two nights of TakeOver, two nights of WrestleMania. But the one thing I love is, like, you feel, after tonight, you feel jazzed for tomorrow. You're like, yes, bring it on. I want more of this.
Yeah, I still want one night of WrestleMania. I'm just,
yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
That's fine. I'm geared up for tomorrow now.
I'm geared up for tomorrow, but it's like, oh God, one more show. I have to, you know, it's like versus WrestleMania. I could sit through a 6-hour show because I don't have to necessarily sit through everything for it, but it's just, it's a lot for us on a personal level because it's like we're on the air 4 times this week. That's a lot for us. We normally aren't on the air talking wrestling that much. Mm-hmm. So, and reviewing a pay-per-view because we've watched 2 pay-per-views in 1 week, which again is a lot for us because I don't necessarily try like keep up with all of wrestling full time. So I don't have time to watch every pay-per-view. So this is a lot for me personally. But I think if they hadn't split TakeOver to 2 days, it would probably have been okay.
Yeah,
but
that was the hard thing. TakeOver was hard. But
yeah, it's like Mania being split into 2 days because they did it last year. It was fine, but I would prefer that they go back to 1 day.
With all that, we gotta go.
I think, yeah, because he's got to do another show.
Yeah, like 2 minutes. We're doing CB Radio live 2 minutes from this point. So don't go anywhere. Okay? Here's your schedule. CB Radio in 2 minutes. Wrestle Talk Radio will cover both nights tomorrow night and once the show ends. Be there for that. Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Ms. and Mrs. Rack X Reviews right after that. We'll be live for WrestleMania Review Night 2, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Use creator code ROCKSTOCK in the 499 shop. Give us your Prime Gaming subscriptions. Do it. Do the thing. All that fun stuff. Brent's going to tell you plugs.
Yeah, my personal plug, right?
Yeah, go, do.
Yep, making sure. Okay, hey, if you need to find me on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can also find me on a couple shows here on the network. Yay, all right, let's go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD, and don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will see you Monday night for the Raw post show and Thursday for the WrestleMania Night 2 review. Till then, bye.